Brother Holst Gracie in the house.
Alberto, my man.
Good. You came here 10 years ago when we first opened up here in Burbank, you know? Amazing.
Yeah, I remember, like, this was like yesterday.
You came back like five years after that, right?
5 years. Every 5 years I'm here. Gotta make it quicker.
Yeah, right. And then we're just kind of telling stories about, like, the first time I met you, like, Mall, Easton. Like, I met you in Florianopolis.
Great times.
You were, like, probably, like, 18 or something at the time.
Yeah, 17, 18, somewhere around there. Just turning 18,
Same size.
Same size. Yeah, because I remember on the Pan Ams, I turned, probably I was 17 because that was the summer.
Summer, yeah.
It was a summer there, so it was around January, February. And my birthday in July, so I was 17 because I turned.
Oh, we have the same birthday, right? July 14th?
July 14th, yeah.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Good people are born in this day.
That's right.
Julius Caesar was born in.
The Bastille Day, too, right? Yes. The Independence Day of France.
Independence Day. I might have, not sure about Julius Caesar, but I know he's a cancer for sure from July. But
yeah, it's cool, man. We're here. This I'm here. You're gonna go get your dad's medal from 40 years ago.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. You know, long time coming. Been trying to do this, you know, for a while. COVID hit us.
Yeah,
just put a little delay on the plan. Now I'm here.
Yeah. So the story is, right, like, your dad won the Sambo Pan Americans. He got the gold medal 40 years ago, and he had to leave. So Bob picked it up for him.
Yeah.
And then your dad passed.
Yeah, I think Bob was telling that, as I was watching on Mike's documentary, the something to do with the medal. They didn't have the medal. There was, like, a problem with the governing body. And then when Bob finally got the medal, my father wasn't here, so he kept it.
Man, 40 years.
40 years. I'm excited to meet Bob.
You never met him?
I never met him. I heard great things about him, but never met him.
Yeah. He taught the Americana, supposedly, and your dad was, like, you know, wrestling, whatever, the Sambo, right, to add to.
Yeah, my dad was always, like, a natural competitor. He always wanted to compete, and these days you'll be loving it, right? Because, like, you have competitions every weekend, you know, you can figure out, like, a tournament to compete every weekend. But on his time, you know, once a year, twice a year, you know, I have to try. I remember, you know, my uncles telling stories, they had to get on the bus, you know, 20, 30 hours on the bus to go compete and this and that. But so because he loved competing, so he meant, okay, we're going to have a judo competition. Okay, let's go. We're going to have wrestling. Let's go. We're going to have sambo. Let's go, you know. So and he started training the rules. A lot of times he didn't even know the full rules of the event. But yeah, he started to adapt and use some techniques, you know.
Yeah. You follow kind of in this, you wrestled at the Madison Square Garden. Yeah. Like, how many years ago was that now?
Good question, man. Good question. Maybe 16, 2016, 17.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like
Blink of an eye, yeah.
What made you want to do that?
I always liked wrestling and stuff, right? Yeah. I competed in judo. I always trained wrestling with great wrestlers. And the Olympics in Brazil was going to come. Mm. And my wrestling coach, he said, Holly, you might have a shot at this. Why don't you give it a try? You know, you have a natural talent. Maybe you qualify to Brazil sometimes, but the hosting country, they can put like one athlete per weight class. You know, so I said, yeah. So he sparked the plug.
He was a wrestling coach in Brazil?
No, here.
Oh, here.
In New York. Hamid Kermashah, Iranian, one of the best coaches, you know, in wrestling. When I tell wrestlers that he's my coach, I still say he's my coach, and I haven't trained with him in a little bit, but I consider him like a life coach, you know, like a lifetime coach. People are like, no way, does this guy teaches you? You know, so he's like, he's in a great story as well. And we started training, and then we started competing. I remember my first two wrestling events, the only rules I knew was like, take down, don't get taken down.
Right, right.
and don't put your back on the mat. So there was like, there were two rules that I knew.
Yeah.
And, you know, starting to understand more the sport.
Like the escapes and
the escape and stuff. You know, I took it like pretty seriously. I think for a good year or so, I was competing a lot. I took second in nationals in Brazil.
Mm.
You know, it was fun. It was definitely fun and definitely made me a better teacher. Definitely made me a better jiu-jitsu guy.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Abu Dhabi, have you done pretty much everything, right? Wrestling, Abu Dhabi, I mean, of course, jiu-jitsu, you know, with the gi, but you fought. How many fights did you do?
12.
12, yeah.
12 MMA fights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even pro wrestling.
You did pro wrestling?
Yeah, I did pro wrestling with my cousin Daniel in Japan. Even that.
Oh, wow. How did that happen?
I think during one of my fights in Japan, I think when I fought for Inoki Bombaye, the event was like a end of the year event. I think somewhere around New Year's. And it was a mixed card because it was some pro wrestling matches and some MMA. And I think somebody asked me, would you do pro wrestling? Would you do? So yeah, why not? You know, if you ask me this, like, you know, like 10, 15 years ago, I mean, it's probably like 5 or 10 years ago, closer to that. But if you ask me, like, you know, when I was like, before I was a black belt, I was like, hell no, I'm not doing a fake fight. But then I realized, man, this is entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like everybody knows these days it's like entertainment. You know, even WWE, WWF changed to WWE, right?
Right, right, right.
World Wrestling Entertainment. It's like, you know, they ask me to do a movie, and I lose a fight, I throw, you know, it's like, you know, it's, so that's how I approached it. It was fun.
Who'd you go in? Your Daniel?
My cousin Daniel.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My cousin Daniel and I, so it was fun. It was like, you know.
They pay you, right?
Oh, yeah, man, you know, like, don't worry. You already know the outcome, so you don't stress about it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, yeah.
Man. Yeah, my first, I went down to Florianopolis with Amal, you know, who's like an older brother to me, my brother. And then I remember seeing you compete with him in the finals of '96, you know?
Yeah.
It's cool, man, to see you like grow up too, you know, over the years. Me too, right?
Yes, you know, and I think we all kept in touch since, right?
Yeah.
You know, our even before we're black belts, our path crossed multiple times. You went to Florida, to Belo Horizonte,
yeah.
Right? Came to Rio a few times too. I was there at the time as well. You know, even though like we traveled a lot, the world, you know, our lives took us in different spots, but we're always crossing paths.
Man, I went to Russia to do a summer camp one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out to, it was like some bar, you know? And I think Igor and Gregor were there. Your brothers were there, just randomly.
Wow.
You know, like, it's like, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. Wow. I think, they are
maybe. It's like a club bar or something, you know?
With Andre Montero too, and they had another guy with him.
Yeah, I don't remember. It was just random.
Yeah, I think they did like a little tour all over, like, you know, Europe one year.
Yeah, all the tournaments, all those things are like reunions, right?
Yeah.
For
always. But yeah, but to meet each other like this without the tournament being you know, it's very, you know, such a coincidence.
Man, what's your earliest memory in jiu-jitsu growing up?
Of me training or like on the academy environment?
Jiu-jitsu, yeah, just jiu-jitsu.
I remember like myself and my father's, when I was, I don't know, my father was alive still, maybe like three years old, in his academy, running around in his academy. I remember like it was like yesterday.
Mm.
They used to have like a little ledge around the mat, and people used to put their bags there and stuff. And I guess when I started to run around too much, he used to pick me up and put a sitting over there on top. Then I had to be like,
you can't
stay quiet because I, you know, had to sit still because was afraid to fall.
And that gym was with CrossFit Gracie, right?
Yeah, it was the gym that they shared. You know, it was two different businesses, but they shared the space. My father had the top mat, which I think was a bigger one, on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then Carlson had on Tuesday, Thursday. I don't know if they did anything Saturday, Sunday. Probably not. not at that time in Brazil. You know, and then they had like a secondary mat downstairs, and they were alternating.
Yeah, wow. Like, people are worried about the competition, right, between different people, but they're like on the same mat, different days, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And there was like, I guess it's probably like one of the, maybe what made like them, you know, two great generations of fighters came out of that environment, right? I guess like competition.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you hear, oh, the guy was standing, you know, yesterday he was killing here in this mat. So let's pick it up the pace.
Yeah.
You know, or even like, oh, their guys are murdering each other downstairs. And the stories are closer, right?
Yeah.
Now everything, like, you know, something happens here, like in 5 minutes, people already know in the other side of the world through internet. But back then, right, news would travel a lot slower.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when your father passed, like Carlos Gracie Jr. took over his students, right?
Yeah, he started teaching there for a little bit. I don't know how long was he teaching there for. But then he moved to Baja, and then he founded Gracie Baja.
And where did you go in that time when he moved to Baja?
Man,
you're raised by all of your family.
Yeah, and that, I think there's like a little period in my life. I don't know if it's that I don't really remember.
Mm.
You know, maybe like when I was, I don't know. I remember I was training with my uncle Helium, you know, in Ipanema as a yellow belt. But like right when my father died, I don't know, you know, I probably wasn't even training, you know, that time, or I was, or I don't remember.
How old are you?
My father, passed, I was about to be 4 years old.
Mm, wow.
You know, so, you know, people ask me, when was your first day training? I don't know. I can't remember. I don't remember myself as a white belt. I don't remember like looking, you know, I don't have the picture in my mind.
But you remember playing in the gym with your dad?
Yeah, I remember like I have memories of like very vivid memories of, you know, being yellow belt, you know, training with Helion
In Ipanema.
In Ipanema, yeah.
When did Helion move down to Florianopolis?
Yeah, and then eventually he moved to Florianopolis, and then I started training. I trained at Carlson's for a little bit too. Mm. I trained with Hoyler. I think he got a little bit of... I think Helion... there was a point that he was teaching Gracie Barra as well. I think he moved. I don't know if he moved like right before he... Because I remember my grandfather... bought a house in Bargem Grande, which is like, you know, like you go to Baja, and it's like another 30 minutes or 40 minutes from Baja. So I think they all moved
past
there.
Past Recreo and stuff?
Past Recreo.
Okay.
You know, it's like you pass Recreo, then you make like a right, and then you go like, inland a little bit more. So I think they're all there. So I think he didn't start teaching in Gracie Baja too, and I lived in the south side of Rio. So it was like... So I started training with Carlson, and I trained with Hoyler a little bit in Maitá. And then Hanzo started teaching in right by my apartment, my apartment that I used to live. So I used to start training
in Ipanema?
Him. No, it was in, I used to live in Jardim Botânico.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, of course.
And he was teaching like in Ipica, the, you know, a club there, a social club. And where people do like horse jumping and stuff like that, like... And he was teaching there in the morning, so I was going there in the morning.
The wealthy.
Yeah.
The nice.
And then I started hooking up with Hanzo. Then I started going to at nighttime. I was already, you know, like 14, 13, 14. And then I started training at Gracie Barra as well. And then Hanzo would give us a, he was giving us a ride back, you know, home. So I was going there, taking a ride back. Yeah.
And then he moved to U.S., right?
And then he also moved to the U.S. Exactly. He moved to the U.S. I kept training at Greasy Baja for a little longer. Man, I'm getting old because it's hard to pick the dates, you know, the right timeline. You know,
you need to write a book.
Exactly.
You need to write a book.
And then in between, Helium moved right to Florianopolis, and then when I was 16, 17, I went to live with him. I went to spend like the summer vacation there. When we came back, he convinced my mother to let me move there for good.
How old are you at the time?
I think it was 17. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, because I remember then 6 months later when I moved there, it was the Pan Ams.
What does your uncle Helian mean to you?
Man, he was like a father.
Yeah.
You know, he knew he's like a father to me. I remember him, you know, all on the weekends, you know, picking me and my brother to go to his, you know, mountain house, you know, ride horse, spend the weekend with him. I was training with him, you know. So it's like when my father died, he kind of like stepped up too. Mm. You know, he was like a very important, like a male figure.
Of course, Enzo,
lots of those guys, you know, always have them as heroes. I see,
that was my perception when I first met you guys, the way he looked out for you guys, like his kids. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he is son. Like,
your other family members don't, you know, feel yeah. like that.
No, but. Hogan, his son, he's like my little brother.
Yeah.
He's my little brother.
And then Hanzo, I mean, how many years your school's in New Jersey.
Yeah.
What's the name of the city?
Old Bridge.
Old Bridge.
Yeah.
Where is that near?
This near, for people who don't know Jersey, yeah. like Rutgers University, you know, like New Brunswick, there's about 10, 15 minutes
okay,
from there.
Okay, gotcha. And so how long have you been in New York? It's been a long, many yeah, years now.
18 years since I arrived in New York. 18 years in the U.S., right around now, around this time, 18 years ago, I came to California. To North Cal with my cousin Caesar. I was there.
2004, right? They were saying
2003. End of 2003.
Well, those Abu Dhabi trials.
Yeah, because I remember. Yeah, because I remember it was right after. It was around, you know, a little before Thanksgiving. So you know. And I was there with him. I think Daniel was gonna fight in Pride. They asked me to go to New York. But then actually the fight fell through at the time, but I stayed there for a couple of weeks. My brothers were there. I moved to the U.S. with the goal of fighting Pride. Mm. And then Hanzo convinced me to say, bro, you got to stay here. Everybody was there, you know, training to fight in Pride. Rodrigo, Ryan, Hanzo himself, Cachorrão.
Yeah, Ricardo Almeida, Metzera.
You know, everybody was, you know, so I was like, bro, you got to stay here. You know, this is what's, you know, things are happening here. I said, yeah, enough said. You know, my brothers were there as well.
Did you guys move together at the same time?
They were there before.
Oh,
Igor came to the U.S. before, but he went straight to New York. He probably like moved like maybe like 6 months prior to me. And then I moved to California, but when I was in New York for a few days, for a couple of weeks actually, they convinced me to stay.
And that was it. Yeah. 18 years later.
Yeah.
I went to high school in New York, and I remember the cold winters, you know?
Oh man, it's cold. It's cold. It is cold. It's, that's one thing that's brutal. of the Northeast.
Yeah, it's beautiful, you know. Also, I love the city. I love the, you know, I love everything about it.
Yeah, me too. You know, I think it's like I had, you know, and I mean, you've been in Rio, right? You know, Rio's like this, like
never
amazing
sleeps.
City, yeah. Right? It's an amazing city by the beach. I used to go to the beach every day. So, and to me, it was all, and you know, my grandmother was, she lives in New York for I don't even know how many years now.
Oh, wow.
You know, 60 years, 65, 70 years, I don't even know at this point. But New York never attracted me. I guess because from Brazil, you know, nature, this and that, and it's like, you know, New York, like concrete jungle. But when I moved, I fell in love with it.
Mm.
I really fell in love with New York. You know, it was awesome.
Yeah, right down the street from, you know, Madison Square Garden. And
yeah, but like now I've been there, done that, so now I'm out. I'm in Jersey now.
Man,
I appreciate my space.
Man, the time with, I shared a post of Henzo, you know, like he just, man, he's always inspiring me, you know, since I was, when I first started Jiu-Jitsu pretty much, you know, his first MMA fight, like the Valtudo, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's like he's like from another.
Plus that, right? You know, being around him, you know what I mean? It makes like a big difference, you know. It was great to be around Henzo. Like, it's been great to be around Henzo all these like almost two decades.
Yeah. What does he mean to you when you think about, you know, just all the years and all the things that he's done?
And Henzo like is literally the guy who gets, you know, takes the shirt off his back to give it to you, literally. You know, so he's that type of person. Like, you know, he's the type of person that when you're with him, you're like, man, no, nothing's going to go wrong. Because the guy's so positive and he's always thinking like, you know, man, everything's going to go right, you know. Everything's going right. Don't worry about it, you know. Like, so it's, yeah, the outcome is always great to him. So
he makes you believe.
He makes you believe. Henzo's probably the most confident person I ever met.
Even if
the odds are stacked against him.
Over and over and over, right?
Over and over and over. You know, there's like this story that I like to say, to tell. And I remember when during the IFL days, Henzo's team, like the New York Pitbulls, were going to fight Pat Miletich in Iowa, like in Moline. And Henzo's going to be the main event fighting Pat Miletich. And the arena was packed, crowded, you know, at the time, like everybody wearing yellow because, you know, the team color was yellow. Everybody wearing yellow.
Hawkeyes wrestling and.
Yeah, you know, exactly. All like. And then I remember somebody walked in the. Some of our team walked in the locker room and go, man, there's not an empty seat in there. The place is packed. And kind of like, but he was kind of like a little bit like, you know, feeling the pressure a little bit. Henzo look at him, man, can you believe how many people are going home disappointed tonight?
Wow. Wow.
You know?
And you guys are all nervous for him, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, he says that, and you're like, man.
You know, we almost forgot who we were with.
I remember that.
It was a great fight. It was a great fight, great event. We had a lot of fun. You know, it's like, I mean, I was... You know, when I saw him winning, right? It's almost like, man, I get so happy for him because he does so much for everybody. You know, he's like, he sacrificed his own, you know. I remember when he was fighting Pride, you know, the whole Team Gracie thing. Like, he would sacrifice his training, you know, his sleep and everything to, you know, arrange fights for everybody, take care of everybody. You know what I mean? Always putting people in front of him. And when he actually has like a great win like that, it's so like, man, it's like, you know, it feels great because he deserves that.
Yeah.
Because he really gives back.
Yeah.
He doesn't give back. He gives first.
Yeah. I remember seeing the Gorgine, all the guys that.
Yeah.
It's like everybody won, but even bigger than that, right?
Yeah.
Man, the you know, the one picture, right, that he had like for the longest time was the fight with Sakuraba, you know, and that's the picture he posted on.
Just the other day,
I shared that post.
Yeah,
that was the one I was talking about. You know, like like, what is that? What does that explain that, you know, it's of Sakuraba getting him in the, you know, at the very end, right? Speaking of going against the odds over and over and over.
Yeah.
And that was like the biggest fight at the time, you know? You know, he had beaten, I forgot who else, like a couple other guys, Gracie's or something.
Yeah, Hoyler. And, yeah.
And then Henzo was the big, you know? Yeah.
Henzo was, and it was, you know, Henzo was doing so great in that fight because, you know, I remember watching that. I wasn't there, but I was watching it at home. You know, and it's like, man, it was a great fight. You know, the fight was great.
Yeah,
Hans was
yeah.
doing really well. You know, Sakuraba was the man. You know, especially in Japan, to beat mm-hmm. him. You know, sometimes when we're fighters, you know, sometimes some things could get us like in our zone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Help us boost our. He was there fighting for with his crowd behind him. You know. Coming off like win after win, he was Sakuraba was the man to beat in the Pride that time, and he had everything going for him. Hans was doing awesome, you
yeah.
know. Hans was usually like always very talented, but you know sometimes you see his fights. He's towards the end, he starts to like you know lack steam a little bit. But with this fight, he wasn't. You know, he was like in a great shape. He was like, you know, going on. He was everything. Yeah. He kept pushing the pace. He was pushing the pace. You know, so I was like, man, this is good because you know, like we knew that even if you went to distance, you know, like most likely, this, you know, they were gonna give it to
Japan, yeah.
You know, to Sakuraba, and he had a legit shot, man. You know, he was like to me, he was ahead and winning, and that, you know. Unfortunately, the thing happened.
But the thing is how he owns it, you know? Like, he put that picture in his gym.
Yeah, it's there.
You know, like, it's, like, different, right? Talk about being vulnerable and just owning.
Yeah.
You know, like, just, like, what does that say? What does that say to you when you see that?
It's at one point, that was the only picture of himself in his gym.
Right.
There was no other pictures of him. That was the only one. I think it was the one, not necessarily that one, but was the one that I think he has his arm already on a sling, you know, and, you know, talking to Sakuraba.
Yeah, talking to Sakuraba.
You know, it's like sometimes I have a hard time watching the fights I lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, right?
You know what I mean? I'm like, well, you know, it's like.
But not him.
Not him.
He's like front and center in the middle of his gym. He was showing all of his students, everybody.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, you know, exactly.
Yeah, just that post, you know, it's like the picture of him, the Kimura, and his arm popping out, right, of the socket from the position.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, I don't know, like, he's on another level, you know?
He's on another level, for sure. He's like, you know, he's the man.
The man. Whoever, wherever, whenever.
Exactly.
Fighting on Twitter,
doesn't
right?
Care. Doesn't care. Oh, doesn't care. Yeah. Doesn't care. He's like... For the sea. That's literally him. For the sea.
Yeah, for the sea. Yeah.
For the sea.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, let's go to the Bob Anderson, you know, since today's the day, is going to give you the medal. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot, man. It means a lot because it's very hard to find words to describe this this experience because I grew up hearing the stories. I grew up hearing the stories of this giant American wrestler who went to Brazil, you know, to train, and you know, so it was amazing, you know, amazing to have this opportunity, right? I didn't even know about this medal until I saw the little documentary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't even know that medal existed. You know, I remember. As a kid, you know, after my father passed, a box of filled with medals, and I regret it because when you're a kid, like you play with it,
right,
you know,
I probably lost,
damaged it. I don't know, maybe my mother hid somewhere, and it's like hidden, it's so hidden now that you know we might have a hard time finding it. But this might be the only and last medal of him, you know. So it means a lot.
The like you know yeah, how did the documentary how did that what's who how did that how did you see it what is the was the process of seeing that video? Michael was telling me the director right and the producer of it
yeah
was telling me a little bit about the story.
Yeah, he I watched it as people, man, it's funny because people send me stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, watch this, have you watched that, you know, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. So people start sending me this link to YouTube, like somebody sent me the link to YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I'll watch it later. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Okay, I watch it because, you know, I basically watch everything out there about my father. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, you know, okay, it's probably just going to be the same footage, same mm-hmm. stuff, like, you know. So I was like, okay, I'll watch it later. And then somebody else sent me. Then somebody else sent me. Mm-hmm. Then somebody else. The things start popping. Almost like everybody I knew started to send me. They said, man, wait, I got to watch that. Mm-hmm. Let me see what's this about, you know? Then I started watching. It was awesome. It was very entertaining. The way it was, like, the story was brought, you know, like some videos, some cool graphics, you know. And then I was like, wow. And I think Mike, I'm pretty sure he was the one who got in touch with me. I can't remember exactly, like, if I got in touch with him, if he got in touch with me.
Bunch of people sent you the video. I saw it too, right?
You might have sent me the video.
Probably.
You might be one of the.
You see this?
You know, and it's funny because I was telling him, Mike, over the phone, they're like, "Man, people still send me the video. Have you watched this? Have you got the medal? You know what I mean?" So it's like every now and then, like it's just, I swear to God, just like maybe last week or a couple weeks ago, somebody sent me.
Today's the day, right?
Today's the day.
Yeah, congrats, man. You know, it's I'm going to drive down there too. I want to see Bob, you know, he's one of my mentors, right? When I first moved to LA, coached me and with that feel of grappling. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They were trying to get into the Olympics or something.
Yeah.
He was teaching me how to souple and just, you know, spend a lot of time with him. So,
yeah.
And his health isn't so, you know, he has a rare heart thing going on right now.
Yeah. So we got to make this happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Big honor, you know.
I was supposed to do this, like, you know.
Yeah.
Couple years ago, we were squaring up everything. Now, you know, we're talking about maybe bringing Bob to a Kasai event, you know, like do the whole thing, like, you know, publicly, mm-hmm. you know, like, but it's different plan, but
it's okay, yeah,
same outcome,
yeah. We got Michael here, you know, ready to go, catch the moment, you know, and I'm just an honor to be a student of the Gracies and your family. And then just, you know, just see a little bit from the outside, you know, this moment. So it's a big honor to. Yeah.
My brother wanted to come here to be here as well, but our schedules were like lining up. He's busy too. Now he's back in the scene competing, teaching seminars, traveling. And like, man, I said, Igor, I just.
Yeah, because we don't know, right? Next year,
you gotta go. Cannot delay this anymore.
Yeah. Well, awesome, man. Congrats for everything. Thank you for your friendship.
Oh, man, thank you for your friendship.
Thank you for your friendship, brother.
My man, it means a lot to me,
you know, the man.
Yeah,
a lot of years, man,
brother. No, very nice to come back, see you again, you know, spend some time. All that.
Thank you, man.